Good morning. The reading this morning is Psalm 84. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts you. Thanks be to God. And now Ian's going to come. Father God, we thank you that Ian has stepped in to bring us your word this morning. We pray that your spirit will fill him, that you will give him words, and that we will understand, have ears to hear those words you want from us. So we lift Ian to you. We pray for him, for his strength this morning. And we just pray that your grace will touch him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So as we come to Psalm 84 this morning, we come to a psalm that possibly has two aspects to it. One is the aspect of being at home, and that has come out already in our service and in our prayers, but also homesickness. So not being at home, but wishing that we were at home. It's a psalm that is about the sons of Korah, and these are probably musicians or singers that were around David, and possibly one of them composed this so that it would reflect something of David's experience. And although it says the sons of Korah, I like to think that there were women as well as men in this group of singers and musicians. I'm sure there were. So we're going in our journey through the Psalms from Psalm 139, where David realizes that he can't escape from God's presence. It's almost as if he's trying to find a way. And this is very different here. This is journey into God's presence, into God's holy place. No longer is it, where can I flee? But the cry is, it's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be in your dwelling place. How lovely is your dwelling place, verse 1. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord, verse 2. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. This call to share with you this morning came yesterday afternoon. We're really wanting to pray for Chris that he will recover, and he had started to map out the sermon. So I said, could he please send his beginning to me? And I'm really grateful that he did, and I can see the thoughts coming out, and you will perhaps be able to see some of what is on Chris's heart in these, particularly this early part. So the question is, what does home mean for us? What do we think of when that word is spoken, home? It may well be that it's where you live now, or perhaps where you used to live, where you grew up. It might be about something wider than your own house. It might be about a community where you feel at home. It can conjure up many different things, but sometimes we also feel homesick. And many of us in this congregation were not brought up here in Histon or necessarily even in the Cambridge area, but have traveled to here. And perhaps we are not fully thinking of this as our home, and sometimes we feel homesick. And this is a theme, really, in this psalm of wanting to be with God's people and being separated from them. Now, in the notes that Chris gave us, there's a testimony, and I'm going to share his testimony here about growing up in Ashford in Kent and then feeling in his late teens that he wanted to do something different, going to India and then coming to Cambridge, to Ridley Hall, to train for youth ministry. And Chris says that he found this quite hard, lots of adjustments, new place, new people, new demands, and found himself longing to return to what was safe and familiar. And even, he says, at the end of his first term, going back at Christmas, he nearly didn't come back to Cambridge. But he's glad that he did. And we're glad he did. That's my bit, adding to what Chris has said. I must say that for Janice and me, our experiences in our early life were rather different. We moved from Aberdeen in the north of Scotland to the south of England. We just got married. We were 22, and it was an adventure. We loved Scotland, but actually we were glad to do something new. And we were led, and this is part of our theme today, we were led to a church that was our home. So we were suddenly surrounded by people who loved us, and we loved them, and we had found a home. Now, some of you have made great distances in your life, traveled great distances, much more than some others of us. And we think, don't we, of people who are refugees, who didn't choose to travel, but who have been forced out of their homes, out of their country, away from their friends, away from their family. Isn't that some of the deepest sense of homesickness for those who have had to flee in that way? So the writer of the psalm is unable to be at the temple for whatever reason. And he is longing to be there. He's longing to be in the dwelling place of the Lord. And there's such emotion here. My soul yearns, even faints. He's not really saying, oh, it would be nice to be in the temple, but I can kind of live without that. He is deeply, deeply moved as he writes, and as perhaps somebody is writing on behalf of David, who might have been in exile at this point. My heart and my flesh cry out. And there is something in the Psalms about deep emotion, isn't there? I'm sure we've seen that as we've gone through the Psalms. And that is part of what happens when we sing, our songs of worship. Better is one day in your courts, which I haven't sung for years. Wasn't that something special this morning? And it's words of truth, but it's emotion as well. On Friday evening, Janice and I were at a concert in one of the Cambridge colleges, and it was a wonderful concert of particularly piano music, and right at the end, there was a Gaelic lament, a love song in Gaelic, and the sense of emotion at these kind of events and in our worship can be great. And the master of the college, when he thanked the musicians at the end, said, "We heard something, but we felt something." And there's nothing wrong with that. That's absolutely biblical, that we should feel as well as know. And everything within this is a yearning and a desire to be at home in the temple of God, to be in the dwelling place of the Lord, just to be there. And we don't need necessarily to do a great deal when we're in church, but to be there, to be in God's presence. Henri Nouwen, the writer, says, our culture is always wanting us to do something. We have a collective compulsion to achieve something. And so to be with God, to be in his temple, to be in his courts, is actually countercultural to that. And it cuts a hole, he says, in our busyness and reminds us that it is God and not we who create and sustain the world. We are to be in God's presence. And the writer of the psalm is so desperate to be there that he even envies the sparrows and the swallows. This probably comes from a later reading when the temple was built. And they have made their nests in the temple courts, a place near the altar in verse 3. So for him, that's also wonderful. I have to confess that for me, it conjures up pictures of bats in churches, which is not, in my view, so wonderful, though I'm sure they have a part to play. But he wants to enfold everything within God's kingdom. And the very first church after Janice and I were married, which we were in, had come from a very small congregation. And in that small congregation, there were two families who came with their dogs into the church service. And although the human worshippers were quite well behaved, the dogs were not. And the dogs had to be dealt with in terms of church discipline. But still, he does want the sparrows and the swallows to be there, and possibly the dogs as well, if any of you want to bring them. I haven't checked that with the elders, by the way. But he's thinking of countless worshippers, especially these great festivals that so marked the worship of Israel, coming to the temple. And he remembers how he used to be there. And we think of some of the older folk in our church. Kurt Heinemann, our next door neighbor, where we live in Brackenbury Manor. It's really not possible for Kurt to be here in church anymore. And yet he was such an active worshiper. And his heart is still here, but he can't physically be here. And this is part of what comes out to us in this psalm. And so there is a blessing in being here today. There is a blessing in being in God's house. There's a blessing in praising God. There is strength in being together, as verse 5 says. And so whatever we're going through just now, let us remember that we are here for one another, that we are here in God's presence to encourage each other. And when our resources feel as if they're totally insufficient, let us go back to the strength that God can give us. This also speaks about pilgrimage. The psalm, verse 5, talks about how blessed are those who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. And this is actually quite an important way of thinking about the Christian life, that we are pilgrims, we're on a journey, we're not staying in the same place all the time. C.H. Spurgeon talked about this in his great commentary on the Psalms, The Treasury of David. He talked about pilgrimages in Jewish life and pilgrimages in our own country. I was interested that he talked about the pilgrimages to Our Lady of Walsingham here in this part of East Anglia, and talked about how so many people would make pilgrimage and join together and camp together and sing together and work together when they were in pilgrimage together. And some of you know I'm involved in spiritual direction quite a lot, with one-to-one meeting with people, and so is our daughter and son-in-law in Sweden. They're also involved. And I really loved the language that they use in Sweden about spiritual direction. They refer to it as pilgrimage. So those who are seeking spiritual direction are pilgrims, and those who are offering spiritual direction are fellow pilgrims, because we are all on this journey together. None of us have arrived, and so our hearts are set on pilgrimage, following Jesus, who had no place to lay his head, and we are the ones who follow in his ways. And also, there's a reference here to those who are making their way through the Valley of Baca. And the Valley of Baca is really the Valley of Tears. And every time we come together in a service like this, there are people who inwardly are crying. There are people whose lives are very hard. And this pilgrimage takes us into that place, into those places. But the wonderful thing also is that the valley in the psalm, the Valley of Baca, becomes a place of springs. So even in those times of tearfulness, God is there, and he is there to renew us and to refresh us. And finally, we come to the part of the psalm that talks about better is one day in your courts, which we've sung. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Fairly recently, I heard Jonathan Aitken speak at a meeting. And Jonathan Aitken, as some of you will know, was quite a well-known politician. And he was convicted of perjury. It seems like now that is happening quite a lot without people ending up in prison, but he ended up in prison. And so he talked in his talk that I heard him deliver about the fact that he just had felt himself go down and down and down, and he couldn't go any deeper down. He had lost everything. And he was he felt the tents of the wicked. He was one of them. He wasn't denying that he was there, but he said the crimes that had been committed by those around him were horrendous, and he wasn't really accepted by the other prisoners, and he felt that he was totally isolated. But through some remarkable happenings, he said a group began to gather within the prison that was a prayer group. He himself was just seeking God at this time. He was on a pilgrimage, and he said, we became literally a cell group. So we've used that term very often, but it was literally the case for him that this group of people were meeting in his cell. And he found this cell was a place where he was a doorkeeper for the house of God. Isn't that fantastic to think that anywhere we can be, it might be so terrible, but God can be there, and God's people can be there. And I would rather be, says the psalmist, a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. But wherever we are, we can be those people who are part of perhaps the very ordinary ways in which people serve within the Christian community. One of the people I've looked at quite a bit in terms of my historical research, is somebody here in Cambridge, T.R. Glover, who was actually historically the first ever non-Anglican to become the public orator of the University of Cambridge. And you, in those days, 1920 we're talking about, you had to deliver your public oratory in Latin. And he was a great scholar. He was at St. John's College. But in his church life, somebody said, if we went into St. Andrew Street Baptist Church, where he was a member, you would see him just getting one or two things ready for the service, giving people a welcome, sorting out some things afterwards. Nobody who had come in and didn't know him would think, this is a great academic of Cambridge University. When he was in St. John's College, of course, he was that kind of person. But there he was a doorkeeper. in the house of God. He was somebody who was there to do whatever service was needed. So better is one day in your courts. That's where we are today. And it's better than 1,000 elsewhere. And I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Let's support each other. If we're far from home, we need to share that sometimes and encourage one another. But let's make this church a home for anyone who comes. May it be a place of welcome. And may our hearts be set on pilgrimage. We haven't arrived yet. We are part of the people of God who don't have a continuing city in this life, but God has prepared for us a city that is to come. Let us both abide in him, stay in him, and let us find in him our abode, our true home, to be found in God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.